very zealous, soul-winning young preacher came across a farmer working in his field. And being concerned about the farmer's soul, the preacher asked the man, "Are you laboring in the Lord's vineyard, sir?" But not even looking at the preacher or even stopping his work, the farmer replied, "Nah, these here are soybeans." "You don't understand," said the preacher. "Are you a Christian?" But again, the farmer didn't even look up, didn't seem excited, said, "Nope, my name's Jones. You must be looking for Jim Christian, just a piece down the road." But this preacher was determined, and he again asked the farmer, "Are you lost?" "Nope, lived here all my life," said the farmer. "Are you prepared for the resurrection?" the frustrated preacher asked him. And that caught the farmer's attention, and he turned and he said, "Well, when's it going to be?" And thinking he had finally broken through and that he'd accomplished something, the young preacher replied, "Well, it could be today, or tomorrow, or the next day." And the farmer took a handkerchief from his pocket and wiped his brow and said, "Well, don't mention that to my wife, because she doesn't get out much, and she'll want to go all 3 days." I have no idea what that farmer must have thought the resurrection was. Clearly, he wasn't schooled in the language of the church, at least not the language that particular preacher used. And granted, this preacher is referring to the great resurrection at the end of days that comes with some of the church's apocalyptic teachings, not necessarily the first resurrection we celebrate today. But either way, I wonder if that farmer would have known what to make of today's resurrection either. But why should he? Even those who were there to see it firsthand on that first Easter morning didn't have any idea what to make of it. For those of you who had your coffee this morning and were paying attention, you noticed that the gospel we heard was not the gospel in your bulletin. John is always available for Easter Sunday, and then we have an option to take the reading from whichever gospel we read in a particular lectionary year. This year we're reading Mark, and the preacher, who had lots of other homilies to worry about before he got around to Easter, didn't decide which one he wanted in time and decided afterwards. And since I'm preaching, you got Mark, so I hope you enjoyed it. But I wanted to use Mark's version of Easter morning because sometimes it's interesting to see how the four Gospels tell about Easter morning a little bit differently. You will have noticed from this morning's hearing that Mark's gospel has no mention of Jesus actually appearing to anybody in resurrected form. The gospel ends abruptly with the women saying nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And while we might seem to remember that Mark has some kind of resurrection story in it, the resurrection stories in Mark's gospel were added long after he finished writing his gospel. Some footnotes in Bibles that you probably have in your home will tell you that for the first 150 years that Mark's gospel was passed around, there was no resurrection stories. It ended exactly where we have heard it end this morning, with silence and fear. And for many, that is not a fulfilling ending. We want more from the resurrection. Now, since the days of the VCR, which some in here may be too young to know what that is, but still today with DVRs, one of the most frustrating things is when you have recorded something you want to watch, and as you near the end of your program, the recording stops. A couple of years ago, I had my first experience of that while reading a book. I had my vacation book with me, the kind of book that is a page turner and you want to really keep on reading. And I was shocked to discover that somehow when they bound the book, the last 100 pages were a duplicate of the previous 100 pages. But I was on vacation, couldn't do much about it. Fortunately for Amazon, it was also available in Kindle version. I was able to download it to my phone and keep reading. And I did send it back to them. They were curious to see it. But I couldn't not find out how the story was going to end after hundreds and hundreds of pages and narrative. Equally frustrating are when we watch movies or read books and the ending doesn't come as we want it to. How often have you read a book or seen a movie and wished it hadn't ended so soon, that the story had continued on? You wanted to know if they lived happily ever after or whether the bad guy gets it in the end. But because they think they're artistic, some authors don't tell you such things and they leave it to the imagination. And it may be a device that writers can use, but it is not without its aggravations. That is no wonder why people felt the need to rewrite the ending and add on to Mark's gospel. How dare he leave us hanging the way he has this morning? Surprise endings are par for the course when it comes to Jesus. For a man who entered Jerusalem a week ago, a shoo-in for the Messiah Party's nomination. It's a tragic irony that in the end of the week, he was left hanging. It was not the ending to the story that anyone envisioned, at least on this side of heaven. It's not the way it was supposed to happen. And yet, that's the way that it happened. And Mark knew this. He was the earliest of the four gospel writers, and I would wager that even 30 years after Jesus' death, when he sat down to write, people still weren't over the manner in which Jesus died. And I think this ending of Mark's gospel is truthful to that reality. But then Mark's ending isn't really an ending at all. If you turn back to Mark 1, verse 1, Mark begins his gospel very simply. The beginning of the good news. And so his abrupt stop to his storytelling isn't really a surprise ending. It is a surprise beginning. The real story starts with the empty tomb. It doesn't end with the empty tomb. Jesus' life and ministry set the stage for resurrection, and with the resurrection, we are off and running. Some of you may have seen the play Doubt, which came out 10 years ago. It won the Pulitzer and the Tony in 2005 when it debuted. Maybe you saw the movie version. But in the original version of the play, it was a 90-minute, one-act show about a priest in a Catholic parish and school who's accused of misconduct, and the play does not resolve the accusation. The writer of the play, John Patrick Shanley, said in an interview that his play was only Act 1, and that Act 2 was to come later as people went home or went out to dinner after the show and talked about it amongst themselves and what they think he was trying to say. Mark has brought us as far as the empty tomb, and he closes the curtain on Act 1. What happens after that and beyond is Act 2, and we have been invited to become actors in that drama. He doesn't resolve it for us as we might have wished, but leaves it open-ended, leaves us sitting on the edge of our seats waiting to find out what happens next. One of the worst transgressions we can commit against our resurrected Lord is to act as though the resurrection was simply a historical event that took place 2,000 years ago, once and done. The resurrection is an unfolding process of God's kingdom breaking into this world. Resurrection is not a future-oriented promise, but one that is immediate and ongoing. In Jesus, the kingdom of God has come near, and Jesus showed us the way to help God's kingdom come on earth as it is on heaven. If thinking the resurrection was a once-and-done event is a transgression, then another is in our failure to give up living in a Good Friday world. In the world of Good Friday, which we've just come through, it is fear and violence and suffering and greed and death that rule the day. On Good Friday, those are the things that rule us as well. But Jesus comes to show the possibility of a new resurrected world, one founded in peace and justice and love and life. If our focus remains on the former things, if we can't get beyond Good Friday, it is in essence a denial of the events we come to celebrate this morning. Admittedly, it's hard to reorient ourselves to Jesus' way of being in the world. We're used to one way of understanding how the world works, how to get along in the world for ourselves. We know about power and how to use it. We know how to make sure we get what we need and how to keep what we have. We treat death, not life, as the great equalizer. To let go of all of that is a bit scary. It's like letting go of gravity when you only know what life is like from the ground and suddenly have to figure out how to get around as you float from here to there. But if we can do that, we can find our ways to ground ourselves in this new way of life that is the gift of Easter morning. It's a surprise beginning that this new life comes out of death, and it's a surprise that the love of Christ, based on humility and service and peace, could supplant pride and power and violence. Mary and Mary didn't immediately understand this for themselves. The silence and fear with which they greet the news that Jesus has been raised is based on the Good Friday world, and they had not yet made the transition to an Easter morning world. As Jesus says in one of his resurrection appearances, "Don't hold on to me, because his way is the way forward." Moving ahead from death to new life, leaving Good Friday behind to live into Easter. The Marys, as we heard this morning, have not yet been able to let go in order to make that transition. Jesus tried to prepare them as best he could, but no matter what, each of us has to figure out this transition for ourselves. So we may not have been prepared for the surprise ending of Jesus' life or the surprise beginning of the resurrection. We may just be laboring in the Lord's vineyard like our simple farmer friend, sometimes lost, sometimes found, a Christian all our life. But none of that means that we will understand this morning any better than Jesus' original followers. Are we ready 2,000 Easter mornings on for what resurrection means? Are we yet ready to let go of the old life and embrace the new? Because we can on this resurrection morning. We can do it today. We can do it tomorrow. We can do it the day after that. Resurrection is not a once-and-done event, thankfully. And it is up to us to figure out what happens next. The tomb is empty. Do we greet it as though we live in a world of fear, with silence? Or do we greet this morning another way? Alleluia, Christ is risen.